Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, folks. Welcome to today's Deep Time and Harvest broadcast. I'm Bishop Hutchison. I'm blessed and privileged to have another opportunity to come and speak life to you today. I'm so thankful for this wonderful sunny day here in North Central Georgia, and I'm praying that your day is being blessed wherever you are. Glory to God. If you've been studying along with us, we've been going over a series of studies dealing with the book of Joshua, and we're going to be continuing with that series of studies today with a lesson entitled God's Victory at Jericho. The battle belongs to the Lord. So I pray that you will have your Bibles, paper, and pencils, that you'll be prepared to take notes and study along with us, so that you can search the scriptures to see whether the things that we say are so or not. And so as you prepare to get your study materials, let me go ahead and give you our sense of truth and key verse for today's lesson. Our sense of truth for today's message is that victorious Christian living brings glory to God. And I want you to say that with me, saints. Victorious Christian living brings glory to God. Our key verse that we're looking at today is coming from Joshua chapter 6, verse 16. And we'll take a look at both the King James Version as well as the New International Version. The King James Version of Joshua chapter 6, verse 16 reads, "It came to pass at the seventh time, when the priest blew the trumpet, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city." The New International Version reads, "The seventh time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city." Let us pray. Thanks to God. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor even now. We thank you for your peace and your power and your presence. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your supernatural work that you do on our behalf. We thank you for victory that you have won for us, for our salvation, for our deliverance. And we praise you for it today. I pray that your Holy Spirit will go forth just as your presence came upon the citizens and the residents of Jericho. May it come upon our enemies to pull down every fortified place, every stronghold against our lives, that it be destroyed now, today, in Jesus' name. Glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And amen. Glory to God. Again, thanks. Welcome to today's Tea Time and Harvest broadcast. You're listening to the Kingdom Broadcasting Network. We're talking today as a part of our series dealing with the book of Joshua with a lesson entitled God's Victory at Jericho. Now, I want to emphasize to you, many times we think that how Joshua got victory over the residents of Jericho, but it wasn't Joshua who got the victory, thanks to God. As you go through this lesson today, you're going to understand that it was God who brought about this great victory. It was God's presence, it was God's battle plan, and it was God's victory that we celebrate on this day. And that should encourage each and every one of us, knowing that when we face insurmountable situations, that we don't have to rely on our own strength and hope and our own help to do it. We can rely on the hope and the help that comes from the Lord. Somebody said, thank you, Jesus. So as we listen to this week's lesson, we're going to focus is to realize that God is the victor, and that we give him the glory. If you're going to be taking notes and studying along with us, the study text that we're going to be using for today's lesson is coming from Joshua chapter 5, verse 13, through Joshua chapter 6, verse 27. And here are the 3 points of outline that I want to be able to discuss with you today. The first point of outline is God's presence with Israel. In that section, we'll talk about how Joshua recognized God's presence and how he commanded the people to respond to God's presence. The second point of outline is God's battle plan. In that section, we'll talk about obedience is key and that God leads the way. The third and final point of outline is that God brings victory. In that final section, we'll talk about an act of faith and victory assured. Hallelujah. Somebody said to me, the battle belongs to the Lord. Yes, we're talking about God's victory at Jericho today. And as we go through this week's lesson again, saints, I pray that you will be able to ascertain that God is with his people whenever they face battle. And I want you to be able to also, as you hear and meditate upon this lesson, to be able to explain why we can trust in the Lord's plan, even though his plans may seem unusual. It may not be the way we wanted him to do it. It may not be the way we would have done it. But we can trust in God's plan. And the third and final thing I want you to be able to do is testify. Somebody said, me testify. I want you to be able to testify to the reality that God brings victory when we face struggles and battles in life. So some of you listening right now may be facing a struggle or battle. It may not be against a physical enemy. It may be against a spiritual enemy. Maybe a financial enemy. Maybe an emotional enemy. Hallelujah. Maybe a health-related enemy. Whatever it is, I want you to be able to know that God brings victory whenever we face these struggles and battles in life. Now, let's think a little bit about the introduction for this week's lesson again entitled God's Victory at Jericho, the Battle Belongs to the Lord. Let me ask you this question. What is the biggest obstacle you have ever faced? I want you to take a moment to think about that. And secondly, how did you make it through your trial? And so as you ponder that for just a moment, I want you to know, and if you look back over the situation, almost everyone has faced a challenge that seemed overwhelming at the time. It may have been transitions in the workplace, strained relationships, or maybe the death of a loved one. But we as believers and followers of Christ have the assurance that the Lord is with us and desires to lead us to victory. And in today's study, we're going to examine how Joshua faced one of his biggest obstacles. And so I want you, some of you may look back and see how God has brought you over. Some of you may be in a current situation and you're wondering how you're going to get over. And I pray today that this lesson would encourage you. It will cause some of you to look back and give God praise. It will cause some of you to know that you can trust God and that you will shout at the command of the Lord today for those walls that are blocking you from victory to come down. Thank you, Jesus. And so as we think about that, let's go ahead and get a chance now to look at some of this lesson so we can see how not only God gave Joshua victory in Jericho, but perhaps we can understand the ways in which God wants to give us the victory today. So our first point of outline is starting with God's presence with Israel. Someone said with me, God's presence. Yes, so wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, saints, we know that there is victory. Now, of course, it would be wonderful if we didn't have any problems in life, but life comes with its own sets of trials and circumstances, and so we're going to see how we can still be victorious in spite of whatever we may be facing. So the first point is God's presence with Israel and also God's presence with us. There's a word in the New Testament that Jesus was referred to as Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And it wasn't just written to say that God was with them at the time that was written. I want you to know today that God is still with us even now. Wherever two or three are gathered in his name, he is right there in the midst of them, says Jesus. So here's Joshua chapter 5, verse 13 through 15. Let's read it real quick. Verse 13 says, now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, are you for us or for our enemy? Neither, he answered, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, What message does the Lord have for your servant? Verse 15. The commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Thanks to God again. It goes right back to the title for this week's lesson, which is God's victory. We see that Joshua was preparing his army to go against what he thought would be the armies of the inhabitants of Jericho, but on his way to the battle, somebody ought to give God praise. As he was on his way to the battle, he met a man that he did not recognize, and he asked him, are you for us or against us? And it was very surprising, the answer the man gave Joshua. And some of you may be looking for the answer in one way, but God may be sending the answer in another way. This man says, I am neither for or against you. I'm here to command the Lord's army. You see, Joshua wasn't the only one with an army amassed that day against his enemies. God had amassed an army against his enemies as well. And I want you to know today, as Ezekiel prayed for his servant Gehazi, that his eyes would be opened and realize that there are more for, hallelujah, than they are which are against us. We're talking about God's victory at Jericho. Somebody said to me, God's victory. So we see that the Lord had promised Joshua that he would be with him. And all the resources Israel had at their disposal, God wanted to remind Joshua and the people that the most important possession or resource that they had was God, was the presence of God. And that same thing is true for us right now today, saints, because as I mentioned to you earlier, that wherever, somebody said wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So God reminded Joshua of that. When we have God's presence, saints, we have God's victory. We have God's power. We have God's hope. But without his presence, victory will be hopeless. But it's because of this very presence of God that will carry Joshua and Israel through to victory, and it is the presence of God that will carry you through to victory today as well. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. So up to this point in the scripture, saints, Joshua had not had a personal encounter with God the way that Moses did. He had only seen God interact with Moses. He had seen the way he conquered, swallowed up the army of Egypt in the sea. But he didn't have that personal encounter like Moses did at the bush until this day. But on this day, it says that Joshua had an encounter with God. Some of you listening to my voice today, you may have only heard about God as reading through scriptures, or you may have seen God move in other people's lives and situations, but perhaps you hadn't seen him in a personal way that was just about what you're saying. God, I'm glad you did it for them, but God, don't pass me by. Oh, today, thanks to God. I want you to know, just as God revealed himself to Joshua, he wants to reveal himself to you. In the case of Joshua, he met a man who identified himself only as the commander of the army of the Lord, in verse 13. Now, according to scholars, there are a variety of opinions as to who this commander was. Some draw a parallel between Joshua's encounter here and the encounter with Moses, with God in the burning bush. We can see also that certain things may validate that, as there was some similar language between chapter 5 of Joshua, verse 15, and Exodus 3 and 5. So as a result, some of us may conclude that this is what's called a theophany, which is a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. Other scholars see the commander as an angel preparing to lead the battle of God's people. Whatever the case may be, saints, Joshua inquired if this mighty commander was on his side or on the side of Jericho and the enemy. And the man's answer was neither. Praise God. God wants you to know that if we just obey his word, the blessings follow or accompany our obedience. Joshua had done everything that God had asked him to do up to this point. His faith has been secured in God, and now it's time to make the next step from faith to action. And I pray today that some of you realize today that as you look at your situation, it may seem impossible, the same way the situation in Joshua's case may have seemed to be impossible. But once you know that God, somebody said, hallelujah, once you know that God is with you, I pray that you will strengthen your loins. So obviously this commander was on God's side. He was going to lead the quest to fulfill God's purposes, not your purposes, but to fulfill God's purposes in your life. Thanks to God. For as Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. So this gave Joshua a very important lesson. It is very important that all of us who desire God's help in battle, that we rely on the presence of God. You see, the power of God's army is available. You may not be able to see them with your natural eyes, thanks to God, but God is present with you. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth today. Our part is simply to obey God and align ourselves. Someone say, align ourselves. Our purpose is to obey God and align ourselves with his purposes. So, saints, when we recognize God's presence in our time of impending battle, it's not always easy. And God often reveals himself in unique ways, delivering his message of hope and power through means and people and circumstances that we don't usually expect or understand. So we see in verse 15 that the commander left no doubt as to what was happening in the scene. The place where Joshua stood was holy ground, as any place where God reveals himself. He may be revealing himself to some of you right now. You ought to just fall before his presence and take the sandals off your feet and worship him. So this situation that we see described here bears close resemblance to Moses' encounter with God in Exodus chapter 3. And the parallel is very important, thanks to God, because God first appeared to Moses when he was just about to lead God's people out of captivity into the promised land. They were coming out of Egypt into the wilderness, and now here it is. God appears to Joshua where he will lead them in the continuation of that mission. And the presence of God would make the difference between failure and success today. Today we're talking about God's victory at Jericho, saints, that the battle belongs to the Lord. Our first point in this lesson this week is to see that God is present with us, just as God is present with Israel. So we, all of us listening today, thanks to God, each one of us need to recognize God's presence. And when we do so, we affirm God's majesty and his power. And when we recognize him as the one who's going to win the victory, we acknowledge him as the sovereign Lord. He's going to be the one who conquers our enemies. Remember, we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, saints, but we wrestle with spiritual wickedness and powers of darkness in high places. And so we also, each and every one of us today, we need the presence of the Lord in order to win our battle. Somebody give God praise right now. So my encouragement for you today is may we always respond to his presence with the same surrender to God's majesty and holiness that we see Joshua exhibited. And I'm sure that as Joshua pondered the seemingly impossible task before him, he needed to stay focused. Somebody said focused. He needed to stay focused on God as his source. And thanks, we too must exalt him in trusting our paths to his care and to his guidance. Yes, we're talking about God's victory at Jericho and recognizing his presence. So here's a question I want you to think about before we move to our second point today. Why might it be difficult sometimes to recognize God's presence? I want you to think about that. And oftentimes we're looking for the answer through our preconceived ideas, and we expect God to work in a certain way. We expect God to work in ways that we can understand. But as you look at the account of the scripture today, you can see that God has his own plan that may not be according to your plan. And if you're not willing to yield to God's plan, you're not ready to yield to victory and success today. Somebody said, thank you, Jesus. So once we recognize God's presence and recognize that it is God's battle, saints, we can be assured of the victory. If you were to look at Joshua chapter 6 now, if you were to look at Joshua chapter 6 and verses 1 through 19, you begin to see more about why Joshua positioned himself for victory. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1 through 5 says, talk to us about obedience being the key. Verse 1 of chapter 6 says, now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. Verse 3, march around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. And when you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpet, have the whole army give a loud shout, and then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in. Oh, glory to God, saints. We see God has a plan for every battle that needs to be fought in your life. And we see here God gave Joshua his battle plan. Joshua may have had his own plans in mind about how he would attack the enemy, but God interrupted Joshua's plans. And sometimes God has to interrupt our plans, saints of God, in order for us to hear and in order for his plan to be revealed to us. And our obedience is key as we allow God to lead the way. If you continue to read through verses 6 through 19, you'll see how Joshua yielded himself to God's plan and how God sent his angels. He sent this warrior, these invisible supernatural forces to go before Joshua, and all Joshua had to do was to follow God's plan. Follow God's battle plan, saints of God. I pray today that each and every one of you are listening to the sound of my voice, that your eyes of understanding will be opened, that you will see and hear God's plan and strategy for your life of victory today. It's very important that we, as Joshua did, be willing to listen and be willing to be taught to follow God's way, because God has a plan for each and every one of our lives. He has a plan for our victory. And if we think about what was being said here, we can understand that the wall of Jericho was very impressive. It was thick and very imposing. And the usual military method of climbing it was either going over the top or going under it or just storming the gate. But if they were going to win this city, Joshua knew that it was going to take a miracle from God, and that's exactly what Joshua got as he continued to obey God. So Jericho, the people inside of Jericho, they knew the army was coming against them, and the people in the city were concerned. They were assured, they felt safe that no one could enter into the city. However, the Lord told Joshua that the city would be defeated. God told Joshua before he ever started to march that, look, I have given you the entire city, the king, all the inhabitants and every possession within that city. All you have to do is follow God's battle plan. So in verses 2 through 5, God's instructions were certainly unorthodox. The priests would go first, 7 of them, carrying a ram's horn. You see, they were to lead the march with other priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant, which is a visible sign of God's presence. Then the army of Israel would follow. For 6 days, they were to march around the city. God says on the 7th day, they would go around 7 times. They were not to say a word. Only the sound of the ram's horns being blown and the shuffling of the feet that came with the marching would be heard. Then they would halt, followed by a blast of the trumpets and a loud shout, the scripture says. And Israel in verses 6 through 19 did just as the Lord commanded. Someone said did just as the Lord commanded. And the actions God commanded, and then Israel obeyed. Now, this is very rich with imagery, thanks to God. If you can imagine, the seven is sometimes referred to as the number of divine completeness. And the use of ceremonial trumpets, the presence of priests, and the prominence of the Ark of the Covenant all emphasized that this was not merely a military campaign. It emphasized that the Lord himself would bring the wall down in a way that allowed only for him to receive the glory. Thanks to God, God doesn't want to share his glory with you or anyone else. So the plan God gave Joshua defied human understanding. Yet Joshua never argued. He understood that God's plans are the way to victory. And we would be wise today, thanks to God, to follow Joshua's example. Through our faith and humble obedience, we can experience God-given victory in the hardest of battles. Somebody give God a praise right now today that God brings victory. So why do you think God's plan sometimes seems strange to us? Well, usually it's because we think we already know what we need God to do. Today, maybe you need to confess, God, I'm sorry. I repent for thinking I know your ways, for your ways are higher than my ways and your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. But I want to believe today. I want to get myself aligned with your plan for my life, and I realize that you are the one who brings victory. If you were to read Joshua 6, verses 20 to 27, you'll see that the Lord had given the plan, and Israel was obedient. They saw God do the miraculous. Jericho's wall fell down flat, crumbling in such a way that the soldiers could easily navigate the rubble and take the city, just as God had commanded. And everything was destroyed. So Jericho, that imposing fortress, had fallen in the face of all of Israel. Today I want to see the same things happen in you. And there's another victory took place that day also, saints. The victory for Rahab, who had hid the spies and her family. They were saved as well. So, saints, we want you to know that all who place their faith in the one true God, the one who sides with God, maybe even over their friends, over their family, over their nation, over their government, just as Rahab did, you can also be granted a place among God's people for all eternity. And we want you to also note that God says that he burnt everything down and left the city desolate. They only took the valuable metals. Don't you know, saints, again, that the wealth of the wicked is simply stored up for the righteous today. I want you to look at this example from Joshua and understand that God can bring such triumph in our lives as well. He only asks that we trust him and follow his leading in humble obedience. God is the victor, and he leads his people to victory. So, saints, what are some ways that God has for maybe calling you to be obedient today? I want you to ponder that as we conclude this week's lesson about God's victory. I want you to know that God wants you to be victorious in the battles you face. As you encounter trials and tribulations, you have been given all that you need to make it through. God has promised to be with you in your spiritual walk. He is willing to lead you and guide you according to his plans. But your faithful obedience to his word is key to finding victory. So what obstacles do you face that are impossible for you to overcome on your own? Have you talked with the Lord about these trials? What is it that he has told you to do? Remember, saints, it is the Lord's presence that makes the difference. Pray that he will show himself to you. Keep watchful and alert to the plan that God gives you. God is glorified, saints, when his children live in victory. Somebody give God a praise today. I praise you, Lord. I thank you today for the victory that you won in Jericho. And we thank and praise you for the victory you won in our lives. It's your peace. It's your battle. It's your victory. We say hallelujah. And thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And amen. You be blessed today, saints, as you allow God to lead you. Thank you.